kedai to know the halachot of how to make early Shabbat in the summer. Shabbat all year round, we usually make at candlelighting. Mincha, Kabbalah Shabbat, and Arvit. But the thing is, in the summers, candlelighting is very late, days are very long, and if you start Shabbat, you know, like an 8 o'clock mincha, by the time you get home, it's like 9:15, 9:30, and you're starting your meal, and you're going to be falling asleep in your soup. By the time you finish putting the kids to bed and helping your wife clean the dishes and you open a sefer to learn, it's 11:30. And then you realize, oh, I was supposed to go to Shalom Zachar. In the morning, I have to wake up early to go to the early minyan because I have to go to a Sheva Brachot and I have to go to a Brit Milah and a Bar Mitzvah all in one morning. It's going to be really hard. And it's supposed to be a day that's Kulo Menucha and Mein Ol Hamaba. And it's not going to be like this. So you have to really work on, we have to find what a good solution to fixing the time issue is early Shabbat. You start Shabbat early, Mincha and Arvit early, and then that way, by the time you finish your meal, it's like, you know, 8 o'clock, everyone else is going to shul, but you're going to you already finished your meal, and you can have a normal night. How do you do that? It's very simple. The Gemara in Masechet Berachot, not on the source sheet, tells us that there's two early times to start Arvit, to pray Arvit. The earliest time to pray Arvit, obviously, is going to be the time that you start Shabbat, because that's when you declare something to be nightfall. Either at nightfall, and the sun goes down, that's when the night begins. Or an hour and a quarter before that at Plaga Mincha. There's time called Plaga Mincha, an hour and a quarter before Shekiah, before sunset. That's the earliest, according to one opinion in the Gemara, that night begins. Which one do we hold like? Both, the Gemara says. Whatever you want to do, you can do. If you want to pray Mincha before Plaga Mincha, and then pray Arvit after Plaga Mincha, you can. And by praying Arvit after Plag HaMincha, you declare that time between Plag and Shekiah to be nighttime. But if you want to daven Mincha after Plag HaMincha, you can do that too, and just pray Arvit after nightfall. That way, the time between Plag and Shekiah is still daytime.
Without the Minyan?
With the Minyan. We're talking about with the Minyan right now.
Does there have to be a difference in the time? Does it have to be can both of them be like during Plag HaMincha?
So can you do them both during Plag HaMincha? Because seemingly, it would be a self-contradiction, right? Atarti desatri, the Gemara says. That I prayed Mincha just now during this time slot, but I also prayed Arvit. Is it day or is it night? So the Gemara says, don't do that. The thing is, we do that all the time. We just did it right now. It's Mincha and Arvit, right? That Mincha is at 7:10. Plag HaMincha is earlier than 7:10. And then Arvit is right away, before Shekiah. So that would be a problem of atarti desatri, of a self-contradiction. So really, you're not supposed to, but the custom of the Jewish world is to do it, especially amongst Sfaradim, all week long. Ashkenazim are okay with it on the Shabbat. The Magen Avraham and the Mishnah Berurah say, for Shabbat, you can do a Tarte de Satri.
Because you're allowed to enter Shabbat early?
Because you're allowed to start Shabbat early, yeah. Yeah, you can start Shabbat early, and by doing Arvit earlier, you start Shabbat earlier. The earliest you can do it is Plag HaMincha. So in the summer, when the days are long, you want it to be super early. So that's why you have a Plag Minyan, an early Shabbos Minyan. That meaning you pray Mincha right before Plag, finish Mincha before Plag, Kabbalah Shabbat, and then you pray Arvit. Yeah.
I'm sorry to interrupt.
No, it's okay.
You know, I know ideally no one does Let's say in the winter, Shabbat starts at 4:15.
Yeah.
If for whatever reason someone wanted to, could he start Shabbat 3:15?
Yeah.
Really?
It might not be as early as 3:15, it might be more like 3:30, but yeah.
Yeah, so with that being said, why is he restricted to how early he's able to start Shabbat?
Because if, you know, at 12 o'clock noon you take out candles and you light them, the Gemara says it doesn't accomplish anything. It's still day out. The earliest period to declare the day as night is called Plag HaMincha. An hour and a quarter before nightfall. So that earliest point is what we use as the hinge pin. We pray Mincha right before it, and we pray Arvit right after it, so you can get home right away early. So on a day when when candlelighting is 8 o'clock, you can pray Mincha as early as, you know, 7:15. And then 7:30, Kabbalah Shabbat and Arvit, and you're home by 8 o'clock instead of home by 9. You can have a normal meal, normal time, even earlier than that, depending on which. There's different ways to calculate exactly how that hour and 15 minutes is. It could be as early as 6:30, even sometimes. So it makes a big difference.
Yeah, so how do you know when Plag HaMincha?
Go to myzmanim.com and ask your rabbi which of the 16 options to pick. That's how you know.
These 16 options are based off of
different ways to calculate the Zman. You count from sunrise to sunset, you count from before sunrise when it gets light until until the stars come out, and then do you count by degrees or by latitude?
Is there one general overheld by Sephardim?
I don't think so. The Vanish, you have to ask a rabbi. I'm not.
Like, why in the Shulchan Aruch it doesn't say which specific way you're supposed to use the calculator?
It's a little bit more complicated. Not for now. We'll assume that you know what time Plag HaMincha is. We'll assume that you know. Whatever the time the shul tells you it is, you're basically okay. Ashkenazim take a little bit more of a lenient, meaning earlier approach. So what we do in YU is that we pray that they should sing the Yedid Nefesh for a good 5 minutes, and then they shouldn't just run through the Chadodi. And by the time they do all of that, it's like 7-8 minutes later, and you're basically okay. So even though it's not Karabach Minyan, they should at least do something. One time they weren't going to sing Yedid Nefesh, so my friends and I made sure that they sang Yedid Nefesh, and then okay. So that's how you do that. That's called an early Shabbos Minyan. But you can't always do that. You can't always do that. Before we talk about what you can't always do, let's read the Gemara about how to make early Shabbat. The Gemara says in source number 1, in Berachot Daf Chav Zayin, source number 1 in the source sheets, the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Chiya bar Avin. Rabbi Chiya bar Avin said, Rav, the Amora, Rav, on your source sheet, here you go. Rav Tzali, Shel Shabbat, the Erev Shabbat. Rav used to pray Arvit of Shabbat on Friday afternoon, on Erev Shabbat. Rabbi Yoshia, Matzli Shel Motzei Shabbat B'Shabbat. Rabbi Yoshia used to pray Arvit of Motzei Shabbat on Shabbat afternoon. Obviously after this time. So the Gemara asks the question. When he prayed Arvit, did he go home and do nothing after that? Or did he go home and say Kiddush and have his meal after that? So ask the Gemara. The Gemara says, end of the first line, Rav Tzali Shel Shabbat. Tzali means to pray in Aramaic. Rav prayed Arvit of Shabbat, Be'erev Shabbat, Shabbat afternoon. Omer Kiddush Alakos, did he say Kiddush? Oh, ain't Omer Kiddush Alakos, or did he not say Kiddush on a cup? Tashema, I'll bring you a proof, come listen. The Amar Rav Nachman Amar Shemuel, Rav Nachman said, in the name of Shemuel, Nitpalel Adam Shel Shabbat Be'erev Shabbat, a person can pray Arvit of Shabbat on Friday afternoon, towards evening. Ve'omer kiddush alakos, and he can also say kiddush and have his meal. Ve'hilchata kavete, and the falacha follows him. So that's how you make early Shabbat. You can. The Gemara is telling you that there's this concept called Tosefet Shabbat that I'm always allowed to add on to the day of Shabbat, and I'm even allowed to pray Arvit early during that time, and I'm allowed to say kiddush during that time as well. Clear? Rav prayed, he went home and said Kiddush, everyone was happy. Now you can pray Arvit early, both on Shabbat and on Motzei Shabbat. Good. But what happens if you live in a community where you don't have that much manpower? You can't support two minyanim. One that's late, at candlelighting time, and one that's early. So some places they make a pshara, they make a compromise. They'll make a minyan in the middle. A 7 o'clock minyan. 7:30 minyan. All summer long. Like Rabbi Cohen does, a 7:30 minyan all summer long. Right? But other places, they can't even do that. Other places, everyone gets home late from work on Friday afternoon. They're not going to make it in time. So they have no choice all summer long but to make a late minyan. So what do you do when, Chabad, if you want to join us? No pressure. But what do you do when you don't have the manpower for an early minyan, but you need an early minyan? Your kids are going to fall asleep. Your wife is going to be tired because she woke up at 4 in the morning to do all the cooking. You want to learn. It's not... I remember one time, my wife and I went to a Sfardi Shabbaton in YU. So we were ready for Shabbat by like 5 o'clock. And Mincha was at 7. We literally sat there for 2 hours doing nothing. Literally sat there for 2 hours doing nothing. It was so annoying. Like, why? I should have realized I shouldn't be going to this Shabbaton tonight. I should go tomorrow. I should go to the Arvit regular now. Because I was ready anyway. It was such a waste of time. By the time I finished the meal, it was 9:30, 10 o'clock. I'm tired. I'm like, where did my night go? Whereas, you know, a normal Shabbat in Yeshiva, I can finish the meal by 8 o'clock and go learn for a few hours. And nothing's in the way. Here, I'm not even done by 10 o'clock. It's much harder. So what do you do when you don't have the time? There's an interesting Gemara. It's an interesting Gemara in Masachet Pesachim. In general, we know that there is a person is not supposed to have a meal on Friday afternoon because he's supposed to leave room for Shabbat. right? Yes. Don't have a big meal, more than usual, and then even later than that, after like, you know, 3:30 or so, not even allowed to have more than like a little bit. So what are you supposed to do if it's Purim, Friday afternoon, Friday? You have to have a seudah of Purim.
Right.
So as long as you started the meal early enough, it's okay. So the Gemara says, what are you supposed to do though? If your meal goes until Shabbat starts, how do you handle that? Shabbat starts, you're not allowed to eat before Kiddush.
Don't let that happen.
Or, let's read the Gemara, source number 2, quoted, I give you the Shulchan Aruch version of it. Asur litom klum kodem kiddush. Says the Shulchan Aruch from the Gemara in Pesachim, source number 2. A person is not allowed to eat, litom means to eat anything, even without washing his hands, kodem shikadesh, before Kiddush. Afilu mayim, even water you can't have. Afilu, even. Even if you started during the daytime, you cannot continue eating once night falls. Sarich lafsik, you have to stop your meal, even if you're in the middle. Why? So what are you supposed to do? Sit there? No. Shepores mapa, spread out a tablecloth, meaning set the table for Shabbat, from your weekday meal, convert it to a Shabbat meal, umekadesh, and say kiddush, and you continue your meal as usual. Right? You sing Shalom Aleichem, do everything, and then continue your meal. This is what they do on Purim, Shushan Purim in Yerushalayim. Because if Purim falls out on Thursday, Shushan Purim is going to be on Friday. And they need to have a Purim Suda. It's going to be hard to do that in the morning because you have to send the Mishlach Manot. You're going to have it in the afternoon. And it's going to go into Shabbat. So what I was privileged to spend Shabbat of Shushan Purim, or Motzei Shushan Purim, in Yeshivat HaKotel 7 years ago. 7 1/4 years ago. So I had Purim on Thursday because I was in Shalvim. Shalvim was not walled in the times of Yoshua ben Nun, according to most people. Some question that. Okay. So we celebrate Purim on the 14th on Thursday.
Right.
Friday morning, go to Yerushalayim. Nobody's in the streets. You get to see what it's like going to different places, what's going on in Shushan Purim. So I walked into Yeshiva, and I found that they prayed Mincha already early. Then they started their Purim meal at like 3 o'clock, all dressed in their Shabbat clothes. Come sunset, they stopped the meal, they took out their sidurim, and they said Kabbalat Shabbat. In the cafeteria, they stood up, they said Kabbalat Shabbat, l'chadozi, everything. And then...
But
what Birkat HaMazon? No Birkat HaMazon. Pores Mapa means you don't even have to stop your meal. Exactly, that's the Gemara. The Gemara says you don't have to stop your meal and start a new one. You just pause your meal. You say Kiddush, and then you continue your meal. And now your meal was a Purim meal, and it converts into a Shabbat meal. What about Arvit? What happened to Arvit?
Afterwards.
After the meal, everyone benched, and then we danced down to the Kotel at 9:30, and we prayed Arvit. And it was beautiful. There were people taking pictures of us. It was very nice. There was no one in the Kotel that night. It was nighttime. It was Friday night. It's all done. So it was a very nice experience. So I remember that very vividly. And that's what we did. So I was wondering, I had this problem in YU this year. I was spending Shavuot in YU. My wife let me spend Shavuot in YU to learn. I live in a block or two away. And in YU, Shavuot this year was on Shabbat. And Sunday was the first day of Shavuot. Monday was the second day. So Shabbat came, we made an early minyan. Fine. Comes the second night, Motzei Shabbat, everyone stays up all night. And you only pray Arvit around 9:15. Because Shabbat has to end first, and then you can start the next day. But for Yom Tov Sheni, Sunday night, the Ben Ish Chai has a very well-known recommendation to make Yom Tov Sheni early. Meaning, you pray Mincha before Plag, and you pray Arvit after Plag for Yom Tov Rishon, Yom Tov Sheni. Even though it's still Yom Tov Rishon, Yom Tov Sheni. This way you can do all of your preparations for Yom Tov Sheni while it's still daytime. And you can have your meal during the daytime. They did this because they had a problem in Baghdad. They had a lot of bugs in India also, where the question came from. They had a problem. They had a lot of bugs. So if they eat their meal during the night, they would end up eating the bugs. Because there was in the air flying around on their food, whatever. So they ate the meal during the day this way, so they didn't have to eat any bugs. And the Ben Ish Chai recommends doing this. Always making Yom Tov Sheni early. So I was thinking, the earliest Arvit in YU on the second night of Yom Tov is at 9 o'clock. And the later one is at 9:15. If I wait until then, I'm not going to start my meal until 9:45. I want to eat my dinner at like 7:30, 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
So let me go to the 8 o'clock, 6 o'clock mincha. come home, 7 o'clock, say Kiddush for Yom Tov Sheni, and then go daven Arvit at 9:15. Oh, I go.
Thank you.
No, thank you very much. Thank you for coming. So I'll go daven Arvit at 9:15. Can I do this Gemara of Pores Mapa, as it's called colloquially, to split, not splitting the meal. I didn't have a meal, but starting a brand new meal, and then going to say Arvit later. Can I switch the order? Can I flip them, or do I have to stick to the order of Mincha, Arvit, and then Seuda? That's the question.
To make it like you did on Purim.
Yeah, exactly. Because this, I didn't even start a meal yet. Purim, I was in the middle of a meal. I wasn't. I was watching them in the middle of a meal. But can you start the meal?
Only if you're in, you can't start one.
Huh?
If you're in the middle of one from before, then you can do that.
Right. So the question is, does the Gemara mean only when you're in the middle of a meal? Or is the Gemara okay with even if you're not in the middle of the meal? And you want to just start your meal early, or whenever Shabbat starts, and then you'll go pray Arvit later. I, as a spectator, I wasn't in the middle of that meal. I joined that meal after for Kiddush.
Yeah,
so,
but, sorry.
Yeah.
I was going to say, like, is it the same for Shabbat and Chag, or is it two different laws?
Oh, that's a great question. That's a great point. That's going to be my last point. That maybe Shabbat and Chag, even if you're going to say it's not okay by Shabbat, maybe you'll agree by Chag. Good. What I want to say is that it's okay. I want to show you three reasons why it's not okay. I want to get around each of those three reasons. So that's going to be the last point. That's going to be the last point. So let's do this. Slowly, slowly. Source number three. The Magen Avraham is a commentator on Shulchan Aruch. And he says in source number three, after Shulchan Aruch says this idea of Pores Mapa, Magen Avraham says in one line. Let's read it. V'nir Eli, says the Magen Avraham. V'nir Eli. The imrot se lekabel Shabbat mi be'od yom. Mem bet ayin yud means mi be'od yom, while it's still daytime. If a person wants to accept Shabbat while it's still daytime, ulkadesh and say kiddush, v'le'echol itpalel arvit b'layla, to eat and then say arvit later at nighttime, rashai, go ahead. That's all you need to do. Magen Avraham says exactly as I told you. The Gemara doesn't mean you have to be in the middle of a meal. Even if you want to start your meal first, and then go Arvit later, it's totally fine. Good? The poskim explain, yeah?
That's only if you started before I got back, though.
That's only if you start, exactly as I was about to say,
before.
Half an hour before
the
Zman of Kriyat Shema. Because you're not allowed to eat before you say Kriyat Shema, as long as it's half an hour before. So as long as you start half an hour before the time of Kriyat Shema, you're allowed to do this. Fine. But that's the Magen Avraham. So it seems like case closed. I have the answer. As long as you pray Arvit, as long as you start the meal half an hour before sunset, or Zman Kriyat Shema, which might be later, then you can have your meal first and everything is okay. I want to show you there's three problems with this. There's three problems with this, and we can get around them pretty swiftly also. Problem number one, not going to read it inside because it's a little bit long, is source number four. It's a Ma'aseh Rav. The Vilna Gaon, the Gra, didn't write so many Svarim. His Talmidim, his students, wrote many Svarim for him. So one of them is called Ma'aseh Rav. Ma'aseh Rav in the Gemara means a story. When I have a question about what the halacha is, sometimes the Gemara will bring a Ma'aseh Rav, a story, to prove a point, what a rabbi did. Oh, so you had a question about this halacha? So-and-so did it that way. That's a Ma'aseh Rav. It has a lot of power, because it's not only...
That Rav did.
Huh?
He just had one.
That was the Ma'aseh Rav in the Gemara, that Rav did it. Exactly. Chazak Baruch. Rav did a Ma'aseh Rav. Right. That he prayed early. So Ma'aseh Rav is a book about what the Vilna Gaon used to do. So the Vilna Gaon is quoted in Ma'aseh Rav as saying that this Magen Avraham is incorrect. It's incorrect. Well, because of the first source, because of source number one. What did source number one say? Source number one said that Rav prayed Arvit
Erev
Shabbat on Erev Shabbat, and then what did he do? Then he said Kiddush. The order is specific. First you have to pray Arvit, and then you can say Kiddush. You can't flip the order. That's the way the Vilna Gaon wanted to read this Gemara. It's not exactly what the Gemara is saying. Gemara doesn't seem to care about the order, but he's reading it like that. That's the way the Vilna Gaon reads it. So there are many commentaries on the Ma'aseh Rav, and many people who've come later who've questioned whether this Vilna Gaon is correct or not. He said it though, right? So seemingly that should be a problem. That if you want to follow this Magen Avraham, okay, but you also have to keep in mind the Vilna Gaon disagrees. Happens to be, later people point out, that if you look through the Sifrei Halakha, you look through the Mishnah Berurah and others, nobody quotes this Ma'aseh Rav. Everybody holds like this Magen Avraham, and nobody shows any concern for the fact that the Vilna Gaon thought it was against the Gemara. The Vilna Gaon also has problems, right? The Gemara in Pesachim that we talked about, Poris Mapa, is also against the Vilna Gaon. Right? The Vilna Gaon says you have to daven Arvit first. What do you mean? There's the middle of a meal, say Kiddush, keep going, and then have Arvit. So isn't that against the Vilna Gaon? So there's what to talk about. Either way, but nobody holds like this Vilna Gaon. So, okay, problem number one, Magen Avraham. Vilna Gaon says problem number one, we don't like the Magen Avraham. Okay, but we don't hold like the Vilna Gaon. That's the first problem. There's two more. That was a problem, an issue, a challenge, al pi pshat, the simple understanding. There's a simple Gemara that seems to be against the Magen Avraham, and we can deflect. There's two more issues I want to raise. It's not going to take so long, hopefully. Two more issues I want to raise. One is in Lamdis, in the abstract, and one is in Kabbalah. In the abstract, of course, is the Rambam. The Rambam is a very interesting thing. If you look in source number 6, the Rambam illustrates for us his itinerary, his schedule for Yom Tov. And in source number 5, he actually illustrates the same thing for Shabbat. Now let's see. On Yom Tov, how does the Rambam expect us to spend our Yom Tov? He says, let's read source number 6. Af al pi, she'achila u'shtiya, even though eating and drinking, b'mo'adot b'chlal mitzvat aseh, are included in the mitzvah of Simchat Yom Tov. Lo yeh ochel v'shote kol hayom kulo, don't eat and drink all day long. So what are you supposed to do? Elakachi hadat. This is the rule. Second line. Ba boker mashkimi mikol ha'am lebatei knesiyot lebatei midrashot. In the morning, everybody should get up, go to shul. When it's palim, gotta go. No problem. No problem. No problem. It's okay. It's good. Good. Thank you for coming.
Thank you for
having me. So good. Good. Okay. So yeah, you pray. You go to batei second line in the middle. You go to pray in batei knesiyot lebatei midrashot. Bekorim batorah binyan hayom. And you read the Torah, you go home and you eat. Then you go to shul and you dive in and learn until halfway through the day. And then the Rambam explains, after the noon, you pray mincha. Basically, what does the Rambam say? The day has to be split in two, half davening and learning, half eating. And he says the same thing for Shabbat. He says on Shabbat a person has to pray Shachari, Torah, Musaf, come home and eat lunch. Mincha, and then Suzat Shlishi. There is an order. You always pray before you partake in the meal.
So is there Magen Avraham basically? He holds like the Magen Avraham?
No, the Magen Avraham said you can switch. You can switch. The Grah said you have to keep the orders. The Rambam seems to be in line with this Vilna Gaon. Rav Soloveitchik from YU had a whole explanation for why this Rambam, he doesn't say anything about Arvit, but in the eyes of the Rambam, the Tefillah on Shabbat is what allows me to partake in the meal. There is a mitzvah of Oneg Shabbat, and there's a mitzvah of Shabbaton, of Kiddushah of Shabbat. The Tefillah and the learning, the Kriyat Torah, that's the Kiddushah, that's Shabbaton. Once you do that, now I can do the oneg, the enjoying, the meal. That's why in the morning, daven, eat. And the afternoon also, daven and eat. So logically, at night also.
Could be that's just because how we're like accustomed to doing it.
Right.
Could be that's just how we do it. It's not like
you're saying the Rambam could not be telling me, prescribing yeah. the rules, that's the way it has to be. That's one way to read the Rambam. But if you go a little bit deeper, and wonder what is driving the Rambam to say this both by Shabbat and by Yom Tov and figure out what the differences are, one explanation is that it's because he sees it this way. Another explanation is he didn't talk about Arvit, he's not talking about this, it's just a suggestion. Chazak Baruch. Don't ask me questions from this. That's another way to say it. 100%. 100%. Even if you accept Rav Soloveitchik's read of the Rambam, that the Rambam would be against what we're trying to suggest, of switching the order of the meal and Arvit, this Rambam does get a shout out in Shulchan Aruch. Anyone know where? Sometimes it's a relevant halacha. You're not supposed to ask Suzat Shlishit before Mincha. It's based on this Rambam. You're supposed to pray Mincha first, and then go ask Suzat Shlishit. And the same thing, you're not supposed to have lunch after Mincha. You're supposed to pray Shacharit, have lunch, and then go pray Mincha. That's why when a Shu has a Kiddush in the winter and Mincha is a...
When's breakfast, though? Where does breakfast come in? Pray
It depends on where you go to shul. Some places, my in-laws' minyan starts at 7 o'clock and it's done by 8:45. My young father-in-law goes home and has breakfast.
AM or PM?
Huh?
AM or PM?
AM. 7 a.m. Shacharit, Shabbat morning, my in-laws' shul, it's the best thing in the world. The problem is...
It's American time, it's not practice.
Right. American, historically, they say that the reason why American minyanim started at 9 o'clock is because they were afraid of people going to work, so they dafka made it later, they specifically made it later, so that people shouldn't go to work.
If we have early mincha, that's not the way to do really
so early mincha is a problem, because you have to have your meal first. My in-laws daven early mincha, but they had their meal at 12 o'clock.
What if we have kiddush? Like,
so if you have kiddush, you're supposed to wash. You're supposed to wash. What if you're not going to come back? Whatever. What about in any case? Let's say sudash lishit. By the time the shul finishes mincha, it's too late to pray sudash lishit. Because they didn't get a minyan early, or they never get a minyan early. And they always schedule mincha for the last minute. There's no other mincha in town. What are you supposed to do about sudash lishit? So even though the Rambam is the opinion that's expressed in Shulchan Aruch, and the Ramah thinks that the Rambam is right, there is a Rosh who disagrees. The Rosh says that if I have lunch, and then in the winter, days are very short, an hour later I have to have sudash lishit, I'm not going to have room. It's going to be achila gasa. Overeating is not okay. So what the Rosh used to do is he used to eat lunch, stop early, bench, wash again, continue eating. That way he got sudash lishit in. It's not advisable though, says the Ramah. You should really follow the Rambam's order. The Rambam's order is shachrit, lunch, mincha, sudash lishit. But, the Acharonim say, the person's in a sticky situation. For whatever reason, he doesn't, minyan-wise, eating-wise, or whatever it is, he needs to eat sudash lishit first. Most opinions say it's okay. The only one who says it's not okay is the Arizal. The Arizal and the Zohar basically say that if a person eats sudash lishit early, it doesn't count. And even before you pray mincha, almost everyone holds, if you eat before the time of mincha, it definitely doesn't count. But after the time of mincha, before you pray mincha, according to the Arizal, it's not okay.
Wait, so we can't, if we make a kiddush and shul, and we wash on that,
yeah,
and then we have our regular lunch, we can't count that as sudash lishit? It's too early?
Did you pray mincha in between?
Oh, no, you did.
If you pray mincha, definitely count that as sudash lishit. If you didn't pray mincha, and you had lunch as your sudash lishit, you really should have another suda after mincha. But if you can't. I was at Aaron Levion's house, I don't know, 8 years ago, 10 years ago, for Shabbat once, and he did that. He did the other way. His parents pray at the late minyan in Shari Shalom, so he prayed at the 8 o'clock minyan, and he went home in the middle, after the mincha minyan ended, before his parents' minyan ended. He went home, he washed, he had bread, then he went back to 54 to daven mincha, and then he came home to have lunch at sudash lishit. If you do that, that's great. I did both. I ate bread with him, and then I went to mincha, and then I had lunch at his house, and then I also went to sudash lishit. It was a mistake. I didn't realize. I wasn't sure what the right thing to do was. Either way, and maybe I only realized afterwards. Whatever.
Is there a problem with that?
It's just how big do you want to get? That's the problem. No, that's, if you have it after the stars come out, if you keep eating, then it can count as Bava Malka. But until then, no.
And you pray Arvid after.
Yeah. But either way. Huh?
It's also in the same, it's like this. Close
yeah.
The Gemara and Sanhedrin, the same one.
Yeah, exactly. So now, the Rambam says there's an order. But we also said how the Acharonim say that sometimes you're allowed to let go of the order. So I think, and Rabbi Elbaz also thinks, that Rabbi Elbaz pointed this out to me, that the need to pray Arvit early, to start your meal early on Shabbat, on Friday afternoon, is also a very good need. Your own Shabbat, your enjoyment of Shabbat, is also pretty important. There are many halachot that revolve around making sure you enjoy Shabbat. This is called a need. That's why we let you do this early Shabbat, and Tarte de Satre, double Mincha and Arvit back to back. It's because we want you to be able to enjoy Shabbat. If the Shabbat starts too late, it's not going to work. So we let you start it early. Same thing here. Just like we let you flip Mincha and Sudash Lishit, we should let you also flip Arvit and Suda Rishona. So even if you all like the Rambam according to the Soloveitchik, this will not be such an issue. Now, what's the last problem? The last problem, if you skip to source number 8, is the Kaf HaChaim. Kaf HaChaim is a student of the Ben Ishchai. The Ben Ishchai was the big guy in Baghdad. He was super Kabbalah, all Kabbalah, and also Halacha. He was able to blend the two together. So, now, the Ben Ishchai had a student. His name was Rav Yaakov Chaim Sofer. He died about 70-something years ago. He lived in Yerushalayim. He moved from Baghdad in the, I think, the 30s or the 20s to Baghdad, to Yerushalayim. And he wrote a book called Kaf HaChaim, where he goes through all of Orach Chaim and Shulchan Aruch and a little bit of Yoredeya, and he tells you, this is what the Halacha says, but also there's Kabbalah. And he's able to summarize all of the Halacha for you, and also tell you all the Arizah, all the Ben Ishchai, into one little paragraph. Now, so, the Kaf HaChaim here, just to summarize what the Kaf HaChaim says, the Kaf HaChaim says here that there's a Magen Avraham who says that you're allowed to flip the order. Good? We said that Magen Avraham already? Wonderful. There's an Eliyahu Rabba, many who agree with the Magen Avraham, he doesn't mention the Vilna Gaon. But there is an Arizal. In Shara Kavanot, Arizal says that on Friday night, there is an order of how things happen. You know, there's a Neshama Yitera, and if you look in your Sidur, there's different parts of the Neshama Yitera. There's a Nefesh, there's the Ruach, the Neshama, that you accept at different parts of the Friday night experience. During Boi Kala, Mizmor Shir, Baruch Hu, etc. Right? Now, the Kaf HaChaim says, all of that is an order. There is Kabbalat Shabbat, there is the Chadodi, there is Mizmor Shir, then there is Shema, there's Baruch Hu, there's Shema, Shmonesre, Vayechulu, Mein Sheva, and then you come home for Kiddush, and then there is Vayechulu again in Kiddush, and then there's the Kiddush. All of that does certain things in Shemayim, and it's an order. If you change the order, you're messing things up in Shemayim. So therefore, according to the Arizal, on Friday night, a person should not change, and should not flip the order of Arvit and Suda Sheni Rishona and dinner, because you're going to change things up in Shemayim, it's not going to be so good. That's what the Kaf HaChaim says. So it seems like, even if you want to hold like the Magen Avraham, you're going to have a problem. You're going to have a problem. Because you're going to violate the issue, the imperative proposed by the Kaf HaChaim based on this Arizal to maintain the order of the heavenly celestial experience. We said the Kaf HaChaim is a student of the Ben Ishchai. Well, what does the Ben Ishchai say about this? If you look in Sefer Ben Ishchai, actually in source number 7, but for the sake of time we're not going to read it, because it basically says exactly what the Magen Avraham says and doesn't mention the Arizal. Basically, the Ben Ishchai says you're allowed to flip the order if you need to, and there's nothing wrong with it. He doesn't mention what the Kaf HaChaim is concerned about. Kaf HaChaim is concerned about the order based on an Arizal. The Ben Ishchai, the Kaf HaChaim's Rebbe, who is a much greater Mikubal than he was, doesn't show any concern for this. So if the Rebbe is not concerned for this, why should I be concerned for the student's concern? Therefore, Rabbi Yitzchak Yosef and others say that I don't have to listen to this Kaf HaChaim.
Not like the Rambam.
Also not like the Rambam. Right. They don't connect the two. Only like Rav Soloveitchik and Rav Shechter connect this Rambam to the story. Most don't. And usually people just think about this as Magen Avraham and Grah. And then there's also Kaf HaChaim, which I'm connecting. He talks about this. And I'm bringing in, I'm also saying, Rabbi Yitzchak Yosef and others say, you don't have to be concerned. Because the Ben Ishchai didn't display concern, you don't have to be concerned. That's the easy way to get around the Kabbalistic issue. Fine. That's the basics of the three things here. There's Pshat, we said, there's the basic halacha, the basic simple issue is the Gra and the Gemara in Berachot. Then there's the Lamdis, there's the abstract, the Rambam. And finally, there's Kabbalah, there's the Kaf HaChaim's concern for this Arizal. Now, there's two more points to make. Number one is logistic issues. Number two is Moed. What do you do on a Chag? Logistic issues are just things to keep in mind. If a person wants to do this, if a person wants to pray our Mincha at the office Minyan, or go to Kollel or Yeshiva and pray Mincha early, come home, say Kiddush at 6, 7 o'clock, and then go to Shul for the 9 o'clock Minyan, 8 o'clock Minyan, depending on the time of the summer, you can do that. But keep in mind there are certain issues you have to overcome. Number one is you have to be able to walk to shul on Friday night at 8 o'clock to make it in time. You have to not be too lazy and not go. You have to not
eat, you're gonna want to go to sleep.
Exactly. You're not be tired, you're not be drunk. You have to make sure that you bench in time and go. Oh wait, what if I don't bench? Can I leave my family and go to shul and walk back?
You're gonna miss this one.
You might be too long. I'm gonna time. It depends on how far you have to walk, right? Right. So that's an important thing to keep in mind. Also, there's a shinui makom problem. Shinui makom. You can't change your place when you're in the middle of a meal. Let's say you do hold like those who would say it's okay. Fine, but you have to worry about the timing. But let's say you hold that you can't make a shinui makom. Maybe you shouldn't get involved in this issue. So then, by benching first and then going to shul, you miss out on something. Whenever one makes early Shabbat, the recommendation is that one should say hamotz, should continue eating until after the stars come out, and have a little bit of bread at that point. Have a kazayit of bread at that point. Many acharonim say you should do that. I'm not saying you have to, but many say you should do that. No, no. Let's say I make early Shabbat, right? Start. I got home at 7:30. I started my meal. The stars will come out by 8:45. So once 8:45 comes, I should take another piece of bread and eat it to fulfill the opinion to say I have to have my meal after the stars come out. Fine? So there are those who say to do that. And if you are somebody who's generally concerned for that, you won't be able to fulfill it here. Because you're going to say Birkat HaMazon after you finish your meal, before you go to shul for Arvit. So keep in mind, that's something you lose. At the same time, what always happens when you make early Shabbat? The first thing that the Gabbai says when Tefillah is over is, don't forget to repeat Shema after this time, right? If you show up at shul for the late Minyan, then you don't have that problem. You actually said Shema at the right time. So you gained a little bit by having a late Arvi. Those are logistic issues. What about Yom Tov Sheni? What about Yom Tov Sheni? What are you supposed to do? So I told you, you have a Magen Avraham, and you have what to rely on, right? Oh, you have to worry about a Vilna Gaon, you have to worry about a Rambam and a Kaf HaChaim. I think you can get around all three of them, but even if you don't think that's so convincing of the Kaf HaChaim, I have another point to add. The Kaf HaChaim said on Shabbat,
even if you don't think that
getting around the Vilna Gaon's issue by saying nobody holds like him, or getting around the Rambam who's saying that in a case of need, you can let go of the Rambam and flip the order. And getting on the Kaf HaChaim by saying the Ben Yishchai wasn't concerned for it. There are those who say that the Ben Yishchai was concerned.
Really?
It's just that the book Ben Yishchai was written for the lay people. So he didn't want to put in like this whole non-explicit Arizal into the book of Ben Yishchai. That could be true. That could be true. But at the end of the day, I'm no better than the person he's talking to in Sefer Ben Yishchai. So if he wasn't concerned for those people, I don't think I'm going to be concerned for it either. I think though that the Kaf HaChaim would agree. I'm not a mikubal. I'm not claiming to be well versed in Kabbalah, but just a simple point that maybe is true, maybe not, is that the Kaf HaChaim said that based on the Arizal that on Friday night there's an order of going up. Kabbalat Shabbat, Arvit, Kiddush. Does that order exist on Yom Tov?
Sure.
I don't know. I don't think so. Is there in your Siddur, does it say anything about Nishalai Tehran Shabbat? On Yom Tov? No, it says there actually isn't. This isn't necessarily the same thing. It might be similar. So something to look into when whoever gets... That's why you don't use the same Havdalah. Exactly, for Yom Tov. So whoever amongst us gets to learning Kabbalah first, should just keep this in mind and look this up when you get to learning the Kitvei Ha'ari and figure out is this an issue on Yom Tov, because it could be that if there isn't, then even the Kaf HaChaim would agree. Now I was sitting in YU on Shavuot trying to look this up and make this calculation of what should I do tomorrow night when Mincha's at 6, Mincha's at 7, and Arvit is at 9 and 9:15. I don't want to start my meal at 10 o'clock, so what am I supposed to do? So I figured out that it basically is okay, based on these sources. I didn't get all of them, but I got a lot of them down that night, or the night before. And it seemed like it would be okay. Afterwards, I spoke to my Rebbe Harav Shechter, and he thought it would be also, for both Shabbat and Yom Tov. Given that you don't have issues with piyutim taking too long, and Rav Willig thought you can only do this on Shabbat, not on Yom Tov. He didn't think it's so right on Yom Tov. Now, what did I do? What did I do on Yom Tov? I was going to go to the 6 o'clock mincha and then go home, have dinner, and then go to the 9:15 Arvit and then learn. But in the end, I was too full from lunch. It was no space. It wasn't. It was too hard. It would have been achila gasa. I've been overeating if I had done that. So it wasn't. It didn't make sense. But at the end of the day, just in closing, my point here is not to propose that we change the whole system of doing things. Everyone should pray mincha earlier and then have dinner and then walk to shul. I'm not saying any of that. What I'm saying is that some people will benefit from having this technique, this tool that they can use if they need to. They have lots of kids, they need to have Shabbat earlier for whatever reason, they're going to get tired. And if they need to do this and it works out logistically, halachically it's okay. There's plenty to rely on halachically for this to happen. In fact, I'll give you a ma'aseh rav. My in-laws also make early Shabbat. So whereas, you know, I get to my parents' house an hour before candlelighting, I often get to my in-laws' house, you know, also an hour before candlelighting, or even less than that. So one time, we got to my in-laws' house on Friday, like in May or June. We got there like 3 hours before candlelighting, and I was so happy. And I see my father-in-law outside. I'm like, oh, he came out to greet us. What's going on? As I'm driving down the street, and I see him. He's in his Shabbat clothes. He's walking towards the shul. I'm like, where are you going? He said, Nimcha starts in 2 minutes. He's making early Shabbat. So, like, oops. So I got there in time for Shmoneh Esrei Arvit. By the time I put everything down, I already have Davi Mincha, so it was okay. I got there in time for Shmoneh Esrei Arvit. So it was okay. But sometimes, the Master Rav is, my father-in-law told me a month or so ago that after he read my write-up of all this halakha, he walked to shul on Friday afternoon. And he usually doesn't get to shul until like Baruch Hu. Sometimes he doesn't get there until Shema. Sometimes he doesn't get there until he's davening mincha early and he has to help out my mother-in-law and whatever. Sometimes he gets there by Shmoneh Esrei. Sometimes. So that's the joke in the family, that he'll show up for Shmoneh Esrei. So he told me he got to shul and everyone was walking out. It was done. Literally finished. He missed the entire thing. So he turned around, he walked home, he said Kiddush, he had his meal, and then he went to shul for the late minyan. Just like we said. So sometimes it helps for someone to do this. And now that you know that you can do this, if you ever do it, you have so much to talk about. In Pshat, with the Gra, in Lamdas with the Rambam, and in Sod with the Kav V'Chaim, there's so much to talk about at the table. I'm not suggesting you change anything, but there's a lot to talk about. It's very interesting. And if you need to, it's something to keep in mind. Amen v'amen. Any questions? Any questions? Clear? I gave this over this morning to the summer kollel, and it took right now it took me 45 minutes because I was going slowly. I gave this over this morning to the summer kollel. It took an hour and 15 minutes, and they were attacking everything.
Is this an essay you were telling us just now?
Yeah, I wrote an essay on this. Yeah, I wrote an essay about this because I was looking into it, and my Rebbe Rav Schechter in YU told me that you should write this up. I'm like, okay, what should I look up? He told me the basic sources, the Gra, the Magen Avraham, the Rambam, and he said, I wrote in my Svarim, I wrote about it too. So I looked in Rav Schechter's book, in Nefesh Harav, and I find that he wrote the basics, the Magen Avraham, the Gra, and the Rambam, and he says, look in this volume of the Yeshiva Journal, in Beis Yitzchak, volume 24, whatever, what it says about this over there. So I look it up, it's an article about what Rav Soloveitchik said about this Rambam, how to understand the Rambam on Shabbat and on Yom Tov, and who wrote the article? My father-in-law. So Rosh Hashanah quotes my father-in-law. He didn't realize though. He was telling me to look at my father-in-law's article about this Rambam. And I got to include it. And then this morning I botched the Rambam as I was saying this over to the summer kolo. I messed the Rambam up. I didn't say it over correctly. And the guys downstairs realized, and it was a little bit embarrassing. So I called my father-in-law and I asked him to explain it to me again. So it was good. Okay, fine. No other questions? Okay, thank you everybody for coming. Yeah, sure, please.
For Shiloh Makom, I didn't know there's anybody that holds that you're allowed to leave a house and then come back and then still say we're going to
Mazar. For RV, I think it's like a Ramah or something. But I don't claim like expertise in Hilchot Berachot. When I learned Berachot through Shechter 2 years ago, by the time we got to Ketzad Mivarchim, he zoomed. This is a Sugyam Sachim anyway, but at least like I would have learned it if I was learning Hilchot Berachot. But he zoomed. So I learned Hilchot Kriyat Shema, I learned a little bit of Hilchot Tefillah, and learned a little bit of the Brachot at the end of, like, you know, what you see things. But I didn't learn enough about Hilchot Berachot. So I wish I had an answer for you. I think it's a Rama who says, for Arvit, you're allowed to leave and come back. Even if you don't leave people at the table, you don't have to keep eating. You can just stay Berkat HaMazon. Time is an issue, Shinin Makom is an issue, so I'm not familiar enough. I think it's in Siman Kuf Ayin Vav, maybe. Just double check over there. Kuf Ayin Chet. You probably know more about this than I do. Well, good question. Okay. Thank you, everybody, for coming. You should have many, many happy Shabbatot.